Hello and welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's the show where we talk about last week in a geekly sense. Once again, I am your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom. And once again, I'm joined by the smoothest of the smooth, the freshest of the fresh, the Stephs of the Steph. Would you like to tell the people what your name actually is?
I don't know, you kind of spoiled it for them there.
Hey, spoiler alert.
Hi all, it is I, Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, aka the Snow Queer on Tumblr, and we're here with the geekly news of last week, as Dom said, and I think our big thing on the docket today. Well, first let's start with, did you have a good Thanksgiving, Dom?
Oh geez, yes, I did. wow, time flies. I had a great Thanksgiving, actually.
Good.
It was quick and concise, actually.
How can Thanksgiving be concise?
So my grandma recently passed. So my final grandma out of two passed away this past summer, and mm-hmm. We would always go up to her house for Thanksgiving. Just like we'd eat at home, like my dad would cook and my mom would cook. We'd have like our big dinner at home, just us four in my house, and then we'd go up and see like our various family members. And then we'd go up to like come up to the city and see my grandma, because she'd have like all like a big spread of stuff. Well, she recently passed, so it was my cousin, and he's like, you know, I want to do a big dinner for everybody, and you know, he was really excited. Like, his son was coming back into town from college. We were going to come up. And, man, did he put his elbows into this, man. Like, we had ham, turkey, like, macaroni and cheese, which I don't like, but it smelled good, and green salad. This man and his mom, like, he's my cousin, so his mom is my aunt. They made, like, salmon with, like, seafood stuffing on top. Woo! Like, it was, oh, so good, man. Like, the greens. Chitlins were there, and they smelled awful, but they were there. My mom brought some sweet potato pie. Oh, it was amazing. And we came in. We all chilled for a little bit, say grace, put our cell phones away, ate dinner, felt lazy, and came home. It was like an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Okay.
And you want to know what really made it go quickly?
Hmm.
You know how everybody was, like, worried about, like, having to hang out with their racist uncle?
Mm-hmm.
Well, seeing as I'm black, I didn't have to deal with,
I was gonna
like,
say, you
having
didn't.
like... that kind of racism, you know, there's still the chance of it, but for the most part, it's like, it's nothing different than you hear like on 70s stand-up, where it's like, I'm trying to be funny, but I don't harbor these things. But even then, it was just kind of like, we all were pretty much agreeing. The only fight was that some of the people were like Cowboys fans for some reason, and that's inexcusable in a Steelers household. So,
Jesus.
Yeah, how was your Thanksgiving?
That was good. I was kind of nervous about it because of the racist relative thing, not because I suspected my it was just like an uncertainty, because I was going to have actual Thanksgiving dinner with the family of my second cousins and first cousins once removed, like my mom's cousins, who all live out on Long Island. Okay. And I have like been in the same room as most of them maybe once for an hour in the last 10 years. And I was like, I have no idea. Like, I think they're all pretty liberal, but I have no idea what's going to be. And thankfully, politics didn't even really come up except to for us all to kind of share a sigh at my grandpa's politics, which are very, very right wing. We were always kind of like, grandpa... He wasn't there, geez. So we were all kind of, like, bonding over the fact that sometimes he calls and wants to talk to us about politics, and we don't want to.
That's funny.
So I was, like, very nervous going into the day, just because they're family, but they're also strangers, and they invited me into into their home for this meal.
Sure.
I was like, I don't want to get into, like, a shit fight with...
with practically strangers with that
practically
I can't
strangers.
Really be mad at.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, these kind of dinners are always funny, because you start to see that there's a difference between Democrat, leftist, progressive, and liberal. Like, those are all four things that people tend to put all on the same side, just like conservative, right-wing, and Republican. But the more you meet people, you're like, oh, this is actually complicated. It's not just...
it's not just one thing or the other.
If you're
almost
on the left,
like,
you're in these four.
Barely nothing is actually a binary.
Oh my gosh. It seems weird that even binary is binary, because it's like, okay, it's zero... then one, then zero, one. It's like, okay, now there's still more than two numbers here, even if it's represented by two. we're off topic. Let's get into some nerdy stuff before I fall asleep on myself.
All right, well, here, I got a segue.
Okay.
So you mentioned the Steelers, because the Steelers were playing on Thanksgiving.
They did.
You want to know something that a Steeler was in?
Tell me.
Moana.
Oh?
Oh, which, yes.
Which Steeler?
The former Steeler who looks exactly like Maui.
Exactly? That might be a stretch.
he's still got the flowing hair.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He made some jokes that made me think of Paul and Molly. Like, they were all the hair jokes.
Yeah. For the listeners, we are both Pittsburghers, as you well know, and...
Yeah.
And I was, we'll say, surprised but not shocked when, at the end of the roll credits for Moana, former Steeler, now retired Steeler player, Troy Polamalu, was listed as one of the voice cast members.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Okay. Was he, like, in the credits or anything? Like, was there an after credit scene or just his name?
Just his name. He was like, the only speaking villager in the...
Okay. Okay, yeah, I can see that.
You know,
yeah,
fair. He's
now that you mention it,
of Polynesian descent, so he's got the background to be in the movie. So
sure. So yeah, we saw Moana this weekend independently with zero coordination. Saw it like almost back to back.
Buried the lead there a little bit. Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about Moana now.
Oh yeah. Spoiler alert. So I think this is the first Disney movie I've seen in theaters. Like
really?
Like a Disney movie. Yeah, I didn't see Wreck-It Ralph or Frozen even in theaters. I don't think I've ever seen... I think it's the only Disney movie I've ever seen in a theater.
Really?
Now that... Like, consciously. Like, uh-huh, I probably saw...
Yeah, you probably saw it when you were a kid.
Like, I saw Mulan at the drive-in,
mm-hmm.
but I have no recollection of Mulan at all other than it was on the screen and I wasn't paying attention. The running gag of my life is that I didn't watch movies till I was 14, except for Hollow Man and Inspector Gadget. So that's probably why I stopped.
Yeah, you made some poor choices early on.
Yeah, it happens. But how'd you like Moana?
I freaking loved Moana.
It's so good, right?
It was so good.
Really? So I don't even know how to really hazard start talking about this. I had no intention of seeing Moana because, you know, not going to theaters kind of makes you not go to theaters that often. But a friend was in town and she was like, hey, you know, what are we going to do today since we're like kind of on limited time? I don't know. Let's just get drunk and eat burgers or something. And she said, how about we go see Moana? I'm like, yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, okay, sounds good.
And this was a good movie. There was lots of songs. The animation was great. I loved Moana. She was like a badass. And it was cool to see another princess of color, you know. Not the first, but we don't need to be the first all the time. It's good to see just more and more.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. I still haven't written my review of it. It doesn't have to go up till Wednesday, I don't think.
We have some time to parse out some thoughts.
Yeah, I'm still kind of digging through all of my thoughts. And I'd like to find a couple Pacific Islander takes on it as well. I've heard mixed things from the actual community, one way or the other. People who have been really excited about it and excited to see themselves on the big screen. Other people who have been like, yeah, but Disney took, like, 80 different Polynesian cultures and kind of mushed them into one. And,
yeah.
Like, I definitely don't... I'm not shocked that happened. And it's more hurtful for, a culture that's been marginalized, for sure. Like, I'm right. The same problem with Pocahontas and other movies like that. But I also think that it's something that Disney just does. I don't think they're thinking about the...
Well, right. I think that probably happens in... From what I understand, and this isn't excusing it by any means, but I think that happens, like, even in their European movies.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, Rapunzel's, like, vaguely European, like...
And you can't really... Like, people tried to place Frozen somewhere, like, it seems like it might be Scandinavian, but their culture doesn't seem to be, which, you know, those cultures are more represented, so, like, a melting pot doesn't hurt them individually as bad.
Yeah, that's the thing, is, like, on one side, like, Disney does this with, like, every vague... subcontinental culture that they make a movie about, but on the other side it hurts more when it's something that hasn't been represented well in other
right
places.
So if anything, that gives them the benefit of the doubt of not being sinister, but that doesn't make it all right, you know.
Yeah, and then they did have I counted 11. I was because I wanted to double check because I sat through the whole credits, but I counted 11 cultural consultants from various, from Fiji. They all had, like, where they were from listed after it, so, like, Fiji and Micronesia and different...
So, see, that's a good start, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. It's not perfect, but it's much better than them just going in completely blind and saying, well, we're gonna just do whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this is a good first step. Disney has, like, infinite money now, so they should be past the first step, but as I've seen in the last 10 years, the fact that we're the first step now isn't even remotely shocking, so.
Yeah, and I think there were a lot of good steps in this, in terms of general princess culture, because I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that that Moana is probably going to be inducted into the, like, Disney Princess TM lineup, just because she's the hero of a Disney movie and the chief of her village, and Elsa and Anna both ended up in that lineup, so there's no real justification otherwise.
Well, I think she must. What are the requirements for being a Disney Princess TM?
I can't honestly tell you, because it has very little to do. It originally had to do with either being or marrying into royalty.
Did Mulan marry into royalty?
Mulan was neither royalty nor married into royalty. There's not, like, we don't even, like, in the sequel, I think her and Shang get married, but, like, in the original Mulan movie, like, they're not even dating by the end of the movie. There's no, like, kiss or anything.
That's cool.
I think
Shang was trying to get past his recently discovered homosexuality, so, I mean, he's like, oh, man, I love Ping.
Yeah. Oh, God, Ping has boobs. Do I like that or not?
It's all about his great personality. And Dragon?
Hey.
Eddie Murphy? They gotta get him back. I hope they have to get a live-action Mulan. And I hope they actually cast everybody correctly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I hate when they cast black people as animals. But uh-huh. I mean, I would kind of like Eddie Murphy to still voice the dragon. Because... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I feel like he did in Kingdom Hearts 2, or someone did a really great impersonation.
Uh-huh.
That's the Mushu I like, you know? Give him a human role, too, just to balance it out.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but so, like, I think they have at least realized that it's not super kosher to say you have to either be royalty or marry into royalty to be considered a princess. Like, that's
I think it's because of the ubiquity of their line. Because, like, by the purest form of the definition, yeah, you actually do have to, be royalty and married to be a princess, quote-unquote. But for the sake of this, like, no, you don't. Especially what their definition of princess considers, like, Pocahontas is a princess different kind of culture and stuff.
Yeah, like, she's also still, like, she's the daughter of the chief. Moana's the daughter of the chief. So, like, though they're not, like, typical European royalty, they're still... in the same kind of princess position.
For sure. And I think that was good that they did that. You know, they need to put Vanellope in the dang lineup, because she's royalty.
She's royalty?
Yeah, she's a queen and president. But no, I liked Mulan a lot that they were... I think we chatted about it a little bit before, but this is for listeners' sake. It's like, they didn't really have, like, a lot of sexist crap. They're like, hey, Mulan, you're the daughter of the chief, so you're next in line, so you're the new chief when you're old enough. Like, mm-hmm. There was no, we need to have a son. There was no, you need to get married. It's like, you are the chief when it's your time. That's how our culture works.
I thought
that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought so too. Because I feel like in the other, like in one of the many critiques of The Princess and the Frog was that, like, you have your first black princess and it has to be set in the real world where she has to deal with real racism. Like, it can't be, like, experiencing, like, a fantastic adventure in a world where she does not also have to deal with racism. Like, in Mulan, I forgive more because Mulan is a Chinese story that it's based on a real Chinese...
Yeah, they just ripped,
like,
that story
history,
off.
...history, like, story. So it's, like, taking the institutionalized sexism out of it takes the point of the story away.
But, I mean, like, yeah, because otherwise she just joins the military.
Everyone's just like, cool, thanks for joining the military, honey.
Like, yeah, like, you're equally as bad as everybody else, apparently. That was what I keep watching the video from Make a Man Out of You, and I'm like, this whole army was awful. Like, it's just funny to think about. I don't know. I'm off track again.
It's okay. But anyway, so Moana was, I really enjoyed it. I really love the music. Music was super good. I cried a bunch of times. I won't say the specific places where I cried because it's only been out for a week and I don't. Not about that much of a spoiler life, but
the only spoiler that I would even hazard to, like, chat at is didn't even feel like a spoiler because it was such a Disney thing to happen. I'm like, okay, of course. So it was just more like, ah, now it's going to happen rather than before. So
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, well, good. That means some of the listeners won't either. So I'll tell you on the break, but No, the music was awesome. I thought art was good too. There was like a lot
of animation was really beautiful.
Like, you know how in Mulan the explosions had like the Chinese explosion kind of art to them, and then like in Hercules they were like doing vase art and stuff. I feel like at least the drawings and some of the other stuff, like Maui's tattoos and stuff, were specifically in an art style too, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then, like, even, like, the water, and, like, I feel like...
The water was beautiful. It was absurdly
like,
beautiful.
Water, and the lava, and the plants, and the sand. Oh my god, I was thinking about it while I was watching, like, the first scene. This isn't a spoiler, because they released this scene, like, months ago as, like, promotional stuff, but when Baby Moana is walking through the sand up out into the water, if you look at her footsteps in the sand, they change... From, like, the consistency of walking through dry sand to, like, soggy sand to, like, sand that has just had ocean on top of it. Like,
that's amazing.
Depth and the way the sand reacts to her feet, like, is different. And I was like, what a weird trifling detail to put so much detail into. But, I don't know, and I don't even know if it would have been noticeable if they didn't. But I noticed it because they did.
I mean, you know, people noticed Elsa's hair go through her shoulders, so they're like, never again will we miss the smallest detail. I don't care if Moana takes 40 years to come out, this is going to be perfect. You know, there's part of me that feels like, and this is a cynical part of me, that sometimes Disney selects the movies based on the graphical fidelity they think they can get away with. Like, the whole scene where Elsa sings Let It Go and makes the ice palace, I'm like, oh, this is the best they can do. That's why they made this. They're just flexing on us. And then Moana, like... Oh, we're going to put a situation where she, like, falls in water and then falls on sand because we want to animate, like, just the high fidelity. If, like, sand is difficult, and Moana has, like, person of color hair, which isn't the standard of what people are used to animating, so they're like, we're really going to get difficult with this one. Like, water everywhere, sand everywhere, difficult hair. And they're like, we can do that. We're Disney.
Yeah, and, like, the crab with all the gold on it, and, like, the...
Was he in the, Was that known? Was that known material before the movie came out?
No, but that's a very vague.
Right. I was just curious. I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah, like that and the Mad Max coconuts.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, it was a total call. If you would fucking sit down and watch Mad Max Fury Road, which you have owned for nearly a year now, if I am not wrong.
When did the DVD come out?
I got it for at least...
Because when I got it was when it came on Blu-ray. Oh man, yeah, I mean, okay, but I've seen that scene, so I should have got that regardless, but you're right, I'll watch Fury Road. I'll probably watch it over Christmas break when I have an excuse to watch it, when I feel like someone will have to make me watch it.
That's what I'll do when I come to visit you at your new house and feel like, okay, Dom, I don't care about you, I don't care about your house, sit down, we're putting this movie in.
How long is it?
Action movie length, probably 2 hours. Maybe less.
Okay, cool. Moana was a good length, though. I did like the coconut. That was a cool scene, though.
Yeah, I was worried. I was starting to get worried about the pacing when, really? Like, it seemed around the time. Spoiler alert: when Maui's teaching her how to sail, I was like, this seems like it should have come a little bit earlier. Are they still not to Tafiti yet? And then, like, he was like, oh yeah, here's Tafiti, and I was like, oh okay.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like they did some nice time-lapsing things that really made it go faster. Like, it gave them the ability to dwell on details they wanted to dwell on and speed past things that are like, okay, cool, she's learning something and that's important, but do we really want to watch the full length of her getting every detail down?
Mm-hmm.
Nah. But she was also, she seemed like a good learner. Like, she was adept at things, you know? Like, she had great acrobatic skill. Up. So she was very, it was very fun to watch, like, her be a cool kid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I was trying to think of what I wanted to bring up, and it's comical because I'm staring right now at a piece of Hamilton fan art on my wall. Did you notice Lynn in some of the vocal tracks?
Not until my friend pointed it out to me, and then I'm like, oh, yep, that's unmistakably this man's voice. He is. But so many of the songs felt like his flavor. Like, I just kept in my head superimposing some of his Hamilton songs on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend pointed out that they're in the wrong key for it to be that, and that my musical prowess is not as high as I want it to be, but as low as I knew it was. But this had, like, a lot of rhythms that was like, oh yeah, you could sing Wrote My Way Out over one of the songs in my head. It had the same rhythm to it, but
mm-hmm.
Dude's a genius. I'll give him that.
Yeah, for sure.
I'll probably have to get that soundtrack soon. I mean, even the songs that he wasn't in, like Maui Song, which you can find on the internet, I guess. That's really good.
Yeah, that was so good. I was gonna butcher pronouncing her voice, but Ali Carvalho, however you say her name, apologies to God and everyone. The girl who played Moana has a fantastic voice. Holy shit. Like,
you don't have to have that great of a voice to impress me. I can't sing worth a damn, so I just assumed they were all good.
Yeah. Okay, so each official Disney princess must meet the following requirements. A, has a primary role in a Disney animated feature film. B, is human or mostly human-like, such as Ariel. And C, And C, does not appear primarily in a sequel, so she has to be, like, the hero of her original story. And the actual title of princess or equivalent is not necessary, but certainly helps.
Okay.
Despite appearing in separate films, princesses have distinct similarities, including the common ability to communicate with animals, even if animals do not talk back. Known for their inner and outer beauty, as well as having beautiful singing voices. And each princess, excluding Merida, Elsa, and soon-to-be Moana, also has a romance that is resolved by the end of the film.
I like how that's... all the modern princesses don't have that.
Yeah.
So that's still hazy whether or not Vanellope gets in, but she was not known for her physical beauty, but she was also, like, the most clearly childlike.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was brainwashed around her, so still holding out for the Vanellope princess line.
Yeah.
But she wasn't human.
Oh, yeah, some female protagonists, even though they are not, even those that hold the princess title may not be included in the official lineup for reasons such as they're not marketable, their film did poorly at the box office, such as Kida from Atlantis, they are too young, such as Sophia from Sophia the First, or are not human, such as Nala.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of guidelines that are so close to just keeping her out of the loop, but...
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? That's fine. That's fine. Back to Moana. It's a great movie.
Yeah. A+,
I have no idea what her level of control over the water was.
Yeah, it seemed more like the water. It wasn't so much that she was controlling the water as the water was helping her out when it felt like it.
Yeah. I mean, that makes her the most... So she's, what, top three of, like, fighting ability princesses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was dope with the aura. That was cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Maui's definitely one of the cool... He was a great, like, side character. There's nothing else to say. I mean, he put it perfectly. Yeah. You're wearing a skirt and have an animal sidekick. You're a princess, so Disney, get on that. Anything else to say about this movie?
Go fucking see it. See it ASAP. So this will come out after opening weekend either way, but... The more money you front load onto it, like...
Keep padding it out.
Yeah. It already, as of, like, Friday morning, it had already made $88 million. So...
Dang. Yeah, Thanksgiving release, too, and... It's,
yeah,
oh,
like,
man.
The kid thing to go see the weekend, so...
The adult thing.
Oh, yeah.
Adult. It's a great movie, so go see it. Love the music in it, and I rate it high as well. So, speaking of great music, you should be hearing something right about now. Nowish? And we'll see you after the break. Hey, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that music. Per the usual, it will be in the show notes. Go support your artists and enjoy their music. Tell us if you're liking our music so far. Tell us if our choices need tweak, but we'll try to keep bringing you great stuff. So next up on the docket, some more movie stuff. Movies are getting more and more awesome, and they're getting blacker. Like black as hell, like hashtag black excellence. We're getting Angela Bassett in Black Panther, and that's super dope. Like, yeah, real legend.
Movie's already just, like, the casting is just, like, off the wall, but, like, I'm insanely excited, and it's not even a movie for me.
But that's the thing. It's like, I of course there's racism, and I'm in no rush or asking to see more racism, but I'm just shocked at how much there isn't. And to, like, I don't know. I mean, there is, but this movie's gonna be so good. Like, I'm so excited for Black Panther. Like, it's black as hell. The movie's we don't even know anything about the movie, and I haven't heard anyone say it's gonna be bad. Like anyone reasonable, anyway. I know when that first trailer hits, it's gonna be, whew. People better watch out. It's gonna be a scary day of just, like,
yeah, gonna break YouTube like we broke Netflix.
Oh yeah, it's like, I hope I watch that trailer, like, after work or something. Because, like, if I see it, like, during the day or, like, during lunch, I'm just going to walk around, like, just an impenetrable shield of, like, perfect blackness. Like, insults will just bounce off, like, I'll just look at me like, nah, you can't. Nah, don't even say that. Get out of my face. So, and I know nothing about, do we know anything about the movie?
Not a damn thing. The only thing, okay. Actually, I found this out by accident, and it's not like it was a secret, but I hadn't put the two and two together, and no one that I follow had done either, so it was just out of my radar. But when I was looking up, I was reviewing the new World of Wakanda comic, which is a tie-in comic to the current, like, the ongoing Black Panther series.
Yeah.
Written by Roxane Gay, focusing on the two lesbian former Dora Milaje bodyguards who are now, like, kind of revolting against the Black Panther for his own good, basically. Like, they love Wakanda more than they love the way he's running it.
That's fair.
And they love each other, so they revolted and they broke ranks, and they are now, like, running their own little revolution. And everyone was super excited about these two, because, I mean, like, badass black lesbians leading a revolution. Like, that's all you really need to tell me.
That's perfect for, like, a bunch of people. And it'll be very telling to see certain people that you would think are excited about this that aren't, because it's like, gonna do that little thing where you, like, rub the top of your pointer finger, like, shame, shame. Because, mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you gotta, that sounds exciting as hell.
Yeah, but I was doing my due diligence for this review, and by that I mean I was looking for a source for a gif of Florence Kasumba as the badass bodyguard in Civil War, and discovered that the character that she is playing, the Dora Milaje character in Black Panther that she's going to be reprising the role of, has the same name as one of these two women from the comic book.
Hey, there we go.
So,
hashtag make it happen.
Yeah, hashtag make it happen, Marvel. Like, if these, like, you can't, like, there are a million names out there. Like, you can't just call her AO and have me not think that it's
the one from the comic.
The one from the comic that's currently out and, like, killing it. So, pretty hyped.
Disney wants that money. Like, there's no way that, like, I'm looking at the picture of this cast that Marvel released on their Facebook or something.
Yeah.
And it has 9 people on it with good old Chad right in the middle. But there's 4 women in it, which seems it's like it's the most women in a Marvel movie that have some kind of important role.
Mm-hmm.
If this is true that they have, like, the lesbian bodyguards, it might be the most strongly breaking of the Bechdel test. And it's like,
yeah,
like, this could be like Marvel's like, hey, we figured if people were gonna get mad about us having black people, we might as well just make all the bigots mad and just have everything and just make this the most. Like, they want all the money on this one, and I think they're going to get, like, all the money on this one.
Well, I cannot wait. I still can't believe they freaking pushed it back for freaking Spider-Man. Like, they can cast all the black... Yeah, I like that Spider-Man. Like, I liked it in Civil War, and they have pretty much rounded out his entire supporting cast with black people. I guess, like, as like, oh god, we're sorry.
That supports my theory of them just being petty, wanting, like, okay, Sony, we could have made a black Spider-Man, but here's how you actually make a white Spider-Man. Like, I feel like it was just a petty shot at Sony. Like, there's no other reason. Like, there's other white Spider-Mans besides Peter Parker, too, right?
In alternate universes, not, like, largely known.
Never mind.
But, yeah.
Okay. But I'm excited. Black Panther would be cool. So what's his next story? I know nothing about this.
Okay, so I am a reluctant isn't the right word, like, recovering, maybe, like, let's start with this. When I was a teenager, I freaking loved The Vampire Chronicles. I still hold that Interview with the Vampire starring Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt, of all fucking people, as the two, like, super queer vampire leads, is one of my favorite movies, a cinematic masterpiece, except for the casting of Antonio Banderas, who is beautiful but not as young as the character he is supposed to be playing, even in a movie made 25 years ago. So, love The Vampire Chronicles with full knowledge that pretty much everything after the first, like, the first book has its problems. The first book, Interview with the Vampire. Second book is The Vampire Lestat, which is Lestat's backstory. And then Queen of the Damned is a sequel, and that's the third book. Like, if you distill down, like, those three books into, like, a book and a novella, that's all you really need. But she kept going for, like, 15 books. And I don't know if I can speak for other people who were in the fandom. She was one of those people who, back in the day, would sue people who wrote fanfiction about her characters, because only she had the perfect knowledge of what her characters would or would not do. So there was never really an active fandom community online for it.
That's how that goes.
Yeah, but from what I could tell, at least from my friend group, all we ever wanted was for Louis and Lestat to get over themselves and get back together. because they break up midway through Interview with the Vampire for, like, justifiable reasons. But for the next several books, Lestat goes on this, like, obnoxious, like, pseudo-religious finding himself journey, and, like, sleeps around, like, the entire, like, pantheon and universe, and, like, eventually in the most recent book and then Anne Rice had decided to cross over her one series, her vampire series, with her witches series, said they were set in the same universe. She was finishing up with her very last Vampire Chronicles book ever by matching up Lestat with one of the witch women from her Mayfair Witches series. I was like, okay, that's it, that's done. There's no more. I'm becoming super Catholic again. I'm going to write a book about Jesus. We're all like, what? You've spent the last 15 years writing gay vampire novels. And then, like, a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago now, she was like, hey, I'm going to write more vampire novels because that's what makes me money.
Gotta go for the money.
And so she came back and she wrote this. And it was bad. It was good for me in, like, a cathartic way, because I was like, okay, I kind of remember all this shit. And at the end of it, Louis and Lestat kind of get back together. And I was like, thank you. This is all I wanted. Like, please, God, let it stop here. And it didn't. She's making another one. I think Prince Lestat in the Fires of Atlantis or some nonsense, like, because Lestat hasn't been obnoxious enough on the surface of the earth.
Hey, there's always gonna...
there are always new frontiers. but anyway, that being the background for that, Anne Rice being a ridiculous human being who has decided to make as much money as she can out of her, vampire stories, has recently regained the rights to the cinematic rights to her creations, and is now trying to shop them for television.
Well, maybe somebody can handle it and do some good, right?
That's so I'm hoping that, like, I mean, if they get picked up, it's probably going to be a premium channel, because whether or not they go full gay, which I'd honestly be pissed if they didn't, because, like, Interview with the Vampire was made in, like, early 90s, maybe, and it was so gay that...
We've gone backwards.
Yeah, we really have gone backwards. because then they made they made a second one. They made a Queen of the Damned movie. It had Aaliyah in it as the titular Queen of the Damned, and Stuart Townsend. It was like her last role before she died.
Yeah, R.I.P.
But Stuart Townsend took over as Lestat, and he was very pretty, but he wasn't very good at playing Lestat. And the only really notable thing about the movie, like, the character designs were all really bad, and the only notable thing about it was that it gave me a really emo soundtrack to listen to when I was really down as a 14-year-old.
Oh, jeez.
So, like,
emo 14-year-olds.
Yeah, so that's not really a selling point, I guess, and so now she has the rights back, and hopefully they'll make a good series that is true to the books without getting as fucking strange, or as, like self-masturbatory as they did. Like, they got very much like, oh, I'm so brilliant and smart, and I'm doing this fantastic, exciting thing. Hmm. What a revolutionary thinker I am.
Self-masturbatory, huh?
It's, yeah, I guess that's a little redundant, but...
I was gonna make a vampire joke, but it didn't work, so I gave up. Well, yeah, hopefully they'll be better. That'll be nice.
Yeah, so sorry I went on a rant for 15 minutes about Vampire Chronicles, but I have a lot of emotions about them.
Oh, no, don't worry. I'm going to definitely match you up on that later on in this conversation. So,
right, so let's jump around again.
So other things that were, I guess, not as refreshing as we would hope. Lin continues to bless us. Lin-Manuel Miranda continues to bless us with Hamilton mixtape tracks. Although I felt a little less than blessed this time. They released the track from the mixtape Helpless by Ashanti and Jarule, which in my head was going to be one of the best tracks on the song, because the way that Lin finishes Helpless with his last line is inspired by how Jarule raps. But then I guess I realized that Jarule's not going to do an impression of his own voice to emphasize the end of his verse. But this cover I did not like that much.
I haven't listened to it yet, so...
It's all right. I don't... Like, they do the good thing of trying to tune it a little bit towards, like, not from the soundtrack. They try to divorce it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they take some parts out and change, like, some lines so that it's more of just a general song. Uh-huh. And on that accord, it works really well. Like, as a song, structurally, it works really well. But Ashanti's doing that. Like, she is famous for overusing the word baby. And she does it again. And it's not that it doesn't fit in the song. It's just that, like... It just feels like, yeah, you're doing that thing that you were doing 10 years ago and you haven't stopped. And then Jarule comes in and I don't know what the hell he was doing. I don't know if he was doing a bad impression of his own voice. I don't know if he was doing a bad impression of, like, Lin's voice or intonation. But he just was doing, like, this whiny voice. And I'm like, what are you doing? It just sounded awful. Like, I didn't like it. And his flow is not, like, you know how Queen Latifah's flow kind of wasn't spot on with Angelica's from Satisfied?
Yeah.
It was like that, but like far, like Queen Latifah just sounded like she was doing it slower. Cool, no problem. Jarule, I don't know what he was doing. It just didn't sound great. It sounded like he didn't have the air to do it. I didn't like it.
Uh-huh.
And I was so disappointed because I wanted to like it so much. Like, I was up till midnight that night and like, I'm going to download it. I heard it and I was, you ever hear something and you're just sitting there like, come on, I want to like this. Like you're trying to convince yourself to like something.
Yeah, it's called The Vampire Chronicles.
Yes. So, Vampire Chronicled Helpless. Yeah, it just kind of fell flat for me. That's all I got. I mean, it's not bad. Again, it's not awful. When I put the whole soundtrack on to review it Friday, I'm probably going to skip right over that one. Like, there's no need to re-listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a non-critical sense, I'm not going to listen to it ever that often. So, I mean, you might like it. Other people might like it. I just didn't, so...
No, it's you're entitled to your opinion. I haven't listened to it, so I have no idea. I have the cultural memory of like the existence of Ashanti and Jarule songs on the radio, but not.
Well, I loved them. Like,
yeah, like
if we could if Ashanti and Jarule would have made this song, well, Ashanti does a great performance. I'm just tired of her baby thing, but other than that, like her performance is so, like. If I cut Helpless off at the part where it switches to Alexander,
then it would be fine. Good.
Then it's a 5 out of 10, maybe 4. But oh, wow. With Jarule, it's like a solid. Like, cause if it's just her, it's just boring and feels useless. Like, it's not bad. It's just 4 or 5, with 5 being perfectly average. But with Jarule, it's like 4 or 3, depending on what mood I'm in.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it might grow on me, but it hasn't.
Not yet.
Well, but you haven't heard it yet?
That's not yet. I haven't heard it yet. Okay. But in brighter Hamilton song-related news.
Much brighter.
Yeah. You want to tell them about that cool-ass video you found?
Yeah, so thanks to all the lovely women on Twitter, once again, who find everything. There was it's called Ham for Bay, and they mixed Hamilton songs with Beyonce songs. And
it's so good.
It's better than you think it is, too, because...
They're thematically, like, it's not just, like, a mashup for what sounds good. Like, it's very, like, interestingly thematically put together.
Yes. Like, the songs they mash up are tonally similar, sonically similar, and sometimes not completely one-to-one mashupable. Like, they do it all, they're singing it with, like, a track overlaid or underlaid. It's great. I like it so much. It makes me wish that Beyonce and Jay-Z did Helpless instead of Ashanti and Jarule, but, you know, you need a lot of star power to get Beyonce on it. But you guys should go watch it. It's on YouTube for free. Just search Ham for Bay, B-E-Y. If you're a Beyonce fan or a Hamilton fan, or you just like music, or you like black people, or you like YouTube, or you like us, you'll find something there to enjoy. So that's all the bases, right?
Yeah, I think you covered all the spots.
Awesome. But it is pretty good. There's a version floating around Twitter that's only about like 2 minutes long.
But the full one's like 6 minutes, so.
Yeah, it's really good. You guys should check it out.
Yeah, like, it's worth it.
So yeah, unfortunately, I don't think that I have even remotely close to the rights to play a portion of it on this podcast. So here's some other good music we hope you'll like. And if you do pause the podcast and go listen to Ham for Bay, please come back. And after you've listened to our song and listened to her song, their song, we'll see you in a minute.
It is I, once again, bringing you back from the break. We hope you enjoyed that music, even though it was not the Ham for Bay remix.
Oh, man.
I know, it's rough, but we have to but we have to carry on. So, our last segment of the podcast, as always, is the Cool Shit We Got This Week segment. Dom, what kind of cool shit did you get this week?
So I got a couple things.
Tell me
neither of which, neither of which I expected to show up on Friday. And so I got a little alert on my phone that says your package has been delivered. And I walk out, I see two boxes, and I'm like, well, I hope one of these isn't, a problem. I know what one of them is because it's from Amazon. The other one just seems mysterious. So I open up the Amazon box. It's my Sidney Crosby Funko Pop. Looks so great. He's chilling. Black and gold jersey.
What a G.
If you love Pittsburgh or the Penguins or hockey, you got to know he's like the GOAT. But yeah, looks pretty cool. I'll have to check out the box soon and just kind of sit him there next to Black Panther. I kind of like Funko Pops. They're nifty. And I got the Google Daydream VR headset. That's pretty interesting.
How's that going for you? Tried it out yet?
Yeah, I tried it today. It kind of sits on my face a little funny, which is kind of hard to make a mask that fits everybody, but you know, fits well enough to work. And I'm comfortable putting it on my face because you essentially just slide your phone into it.
Mm-hmm.
And my phone's not going to blow up because it's not a Note 7, so I don't feel bad about having it near my face. But I tried a couple apps. I mostly just, you can look at photos. I did like the Street View thing, like Google Street View, so you can like go look at places. Like, so I quote unquote visited the Cathedral of Learning from Pitt, where I went to school. So it's cool to look up and see the cathedral and there's people standing around. So it's kind of cool. I watched YouTube on it, which kind of like puts you in this little space, like not a theater, but a similar type space. And it's just kind of cool. Not so much that's the greatest utility of such a thing. But it was cool because I sat on my face in such a way that my whole, like, it just looked like I was in a dark room,
even
though it was
nice.
noon. So hopefully
High
they
noon?
release. We'll get there. But it was nice that I look forward to when they release Netflix VR on there. They're supposed to be doing that soon, so that would be pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I was, when I was watching the YouTube video, it was nice because sitting there, like, you know what, let me just lay down and see if I can get kind of comfortable with this, which, you know, you're able to do, so.
Cool.
I downloaded a free game a couple minutes ago during the break, I'm going to try some stuff out, because some of these games look good, but they're $10, and I'm not fully behind the VR technology, but the reviews looked all right, so I'll have to shop around a little bit and see what they have to offer, but. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what it has. I got it for pre-ordering, so it wasn't something I would have bought, but it's nice to give a shot to, so.
Yeah, it's something cool to check out, mess around with.
Yeah, and I might do, like, I don't know, it might be worth doing a write-up from the accessibility standpoint.
If yeah, for
the
sure. thing that
people might like, so. Anyway, did you get any cool stuff this past week?
Oh, yeah, well, the first thing I got today... And I'm rapidly revising how cool it is. I bought my Christmas decorations today, and in their defense, I bought them at a tiny, like, 99-cent store, and I spent less than $6 for the whole kit and caboodle. But I bought a bunch of garlands and some, like mini present bows and, like, window clings and stuff. And then discovered that the window that opening my curtains means that everyone in the courtyard can see into my room, or, like, across the way can see into my room, so there's no point in having the window clings up there, so I put them on my mirrors, but I just heard one fall down. I put the little, package bows up on, like, various surfaces, but the adhesives are not so great, and they kept falling down during the, I was cooking, and I thought, like, one of these is either gonna fall into the gas flame on my stove and cause a problem, or they're gonna fall into, like, a dirty dish in the sink.
And maybe you don't want that.
And every time one of them fell, I was, like, certain that a giant bug had finally shown itself in my kitchen, like, just, like, the, like, fluttering, like, crackling noise. I was just like, that's a bug noise. And I was like, no, it's just a ribbon falling. So... Now they're in different places than they started, because now gravity is holding them up, because they're not, like, rather than sticking them against, like, vertical surfaces, I have just laid them on horizontal surfaces.
So you have to just kind of go over and look at them.
Yeah, so, in the end, as I said, I spent less than $6 on two things of garland, a bag of bows, a door hanger, and a, pack of window clings, so you get what you pay for.
I mean, that is true. You do. Cool.
On the brighter
Christmas
side,
season is, yeah, Christmas season is coming up, so we'll probably have, like, a Christmas episode, but we'll be sure as well to have, like, Hanukkah discussions and Kwanzaa discussions. I'm an expert in neither.
I was gonna say, so I am not your girl for either of those, but
yeah, so I'm gonna have to pull some people in, because, you know, intersectionality is important, and I don't take it lightly, so even though I'm a hardcore Christmas fan, because I like Christmas rap music and the aesthetic and my ugly sweaters, I still think
is Christmas rap music Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, Christmas music of all genres.
Okay. I don't know if I could point to a specific Christmas rap song, but I'm sure I would.
There's not a whole ton.
Okay.
They're kind of like, you know, when people do not rock remixes of old Christmas songs, but just rock Christmas songs. Like, how every now and then you'll catch one. It's kind of rare like that.
Okay.
So, but yeah, we'll talk about other holidays. Maybe if we just pull somebody in, so. But yes, before I cut you off, you were talking about the greatest thing that ever happened to a human being.
Oh, I can't speak to that yet. Because my dang, I bought it. To go with it, I purchased an Xbox, like a 360 controller, just something that had a USB in it, because I'm much more comfortable playing video games with a handheld controller than I am with a mouse and with, like, WASD keys. But
you'll get there one day.
Yeah. Once again, demonstrating my ability to bury the lead, I have actually purchased Overwatch.
Yay!
It was on sale for Black Friday, $34.99 for the Origins pack. So I got some, got a couple skins to go with my my game, and whatchamacall, was cheaper than it was to buy the regular, the base pack. Yeah, so
yeah, what a weird thing. I'm very jealous. I wish I would have known how much I was gonna like this game.
Yeah, so I got I have that, and so with the controller coming, I spent as much as I would to just buy Origins, but
that's a good deal though. Still.
Yeah, it works out. So so that's cool. Coming tomorrow, and then my parents are coming on Tuesday, so I probably won't get to play it at all until like next week. But
we'll get there in the end. Have you tooled around with it at all?
I played with it a little, not since the free weekend.
Okay.
I've just been kind of like messing with the looking at the hero gallery so that I can get a better visual of what people are supposed to look like when they show up in the fanfiction I've been reading. Because that has not stopped. But
that's I need to find more fanfiction for that series. I haven't read any because, you know, sitting still reading.
I was gonna say it's not really your interaction style for fandom, but
you know, people probably think I can't read, but I can read quite well. Like, I have a degree from a real university that exists,
uh-huh.
But it was a science uh-huh. degree, so, like, most of my reading was numbers.
I mean, one of the things that's going to be, like, I don't know that I've ever gotten so deep into a fanfiction hole before I was actually, like, active in, like, consuming the thing that the fanfic is based on. So it'll be a weird, like, kind of backwards journey to figure out how much of the stuff that's showing up in the fanfic is headcanon, and, like, how much of it is actual. Yeah, and, like, so from what I can tell, it's the answer is most of it, like.
Well, I mean, that's why I was trying to get you to, like, watch those shorts, because, like, most of the story is in the shorts and the comics on the side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to find the comics still. I watched all the shorts. I was surprised there were only 7 of them.
Yeah, there's not a lot, but they're all really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing that gives people headcanon stuff, there was the, I mean, like, the in-game interactions. Mm-hmm. Like, when you go into, like, the little lobby of, like, the match before it starts,
uh-huh.
and with your team, the characters will talk to each other.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of gives you personality stuff and maybe some background stuff, so you kind of get a vague idea, like, what happened to Reaper? We still don't know, but Mercy did something.
Uh-huh.
And what's the other thing?
Yeah, I mean, like, stuff like D.Va's backstory and, like
the, yeah, the comics,
like, the whole Omnic situation, like, prior to the current day, like.
Yeah, that's not in a game at all.
That's what I'm, like, beginning to realize. I was like, man, how does everyone know all this shit? Like, they just make
all the work
up?
They make, like, us do. And then, yeah, for instance, like, Far Mercy, the only reason that's a ship, I think, like, because it didn't even start like, oh, these are two
cute
people.
Besides the fun name?
Yeah, the fun name came, I don't even think it came from shippers, actually, because there's a lot of stuff that comes from, like, the esports community.
Uh-huh.
And they do a really good combo because, you know, Farrah jumps in the sky, starts flying around, and one of Mercy's skills is flying to her target, wherever they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And she can float down naturally because she has wings, so she can float lowly. So she could keep flying up to Farrah, and one of her, instead of healing, she can damage boost you.
Uh-huh.
So what they would do is just have a Farrah flying around shooting rockets at people. If she took damage, for Mercy would heal her. So people would, like, watch out for the Far Mercy combo. It'll get you. And I think the shippers went from there after that.
Interesting.
Yeah. And you get the Beyblade combo. You know, there's all kinds of cool stuff. So it's a whole deep hole thing. So it's a fun fandom. You should recommend some fanfics to me, though.
In fairness, literally I've been just, like, falling into a trash heap of Mikanzo fanfic for the last week. But, and, like, I tell myself, like, and it's, the thing is, like, it's not, in this universe, because there's so little canon interaction, like, in backstory, like, it seems like anything goes, and it's therefore less ridiculous than, like, some, like, a ship from a TV show that, or, like Steve Toney in the movies or something, like.
That's, like, a little far-fetched, but,
it's,
like,
a little bit of
possible.
A stretch, but still possible. Like, these guys have no idea. Like,
Hanzo being gay is completely feasible. Like, we have no way to prove or disprove whether that's true. We can't prove anything. We don't know anything about
these
people.
Like,
we
so.
Just We just know that Anna and Farrah are related because they said so, and because they have the same last name.
Yeah, so, like, I feel less guilty about it than that, and also less guilty about it than a typical, like, random, like, just zeroing in on the most popular, like, two-dude ship fic.
Is it, though?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't checked out the other one because I was just like, this intrigues me. But I also don't know what their dynamic actually is, because I feel like it's all based on just, like, his reaction lines and Hanzo's reaction lines, like, extrapolating what they'd be like as people.
Yeah, so they had a little event for Halloween. Mm-hmm. They did Dr. Junkenstein's Revenge, and yeah, it was basically... Yeah, they had all the costumes. Yeah, so basically, from what I understand, there's a comic that was basically Reinhardt was just telling a story about something he made up. That's why the characters were there, just because it was part of a story.
Okay.
So it was Hanzo, McCree, Anna, and Soldier were the ones, like, that you played as. And apparently, like, Hanzo and McCree have some lines that kind of apparently queer bait or ship bait. I don't remember that. I didn't play them that much, but I was just Soldier doing my own thing on the side, so maybe they did. So apparently Blizzard knows what they're doing and they're trying to fuel the fire, or maybe they're just, I don't know, like having the act, because the actors seem to like saying funny stuff.
Uh-huh.
There's a video of Matt Mercer, like at a panel, like they're all doing their lines. And they're like, McCree, you need order something from Starbucks. And he's like, and he just does his voice and like order something from Starbucks. So they're like a fun group. So I don't, yeah, anything goes there, I think.
Yeah. And also, like, on the upside of the other pairings that I have fallen into, at least Hanzo's not white.
Like, that's true.
Got, like,
there's not a whole hell of a lot of white dudes in that game
from
what I can tell.
I know that
from what I remember.
From what I like, and I can't pin this down also whether it's headcanon or real canon because I haven't bothered to look it up yet. But I've seen McCree be headcanon as at least half Mexican many times. Just, and I don't know whether that's just justification for the fact that he wears that serape or whether it has anything to do with the real story.
I don't know. So it seems like his level is supposed to be, like, some characters are, like, from a place.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. It's just the people, like, he seems awfully dark to just be a white dude.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I guess so. But I don't know. Anything could be. There's no, I don't know if there's any basis in that or not. Sombra's Mexican.
That's yeah, all I didn't really know that.
And then Reaper might be, because he has, like, mariachi costumes. Mm-hmm. I think he speaks Spanish at one point. Maybe people just say that, but. I mean, his name is Gabriel Reyes, and that seems so like...
So it's at least Hispanic background.
Yeah, and he's definitely...
And he's brown, yeah.
He's definitely brown. But then, like, when he's Reaper, his arms look white, so I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know if something happened, but it's all very mysterious. Pretty much, it seems like you can ship anybody with anybody except for Winston and Torbjorn. Because Torbjorn likes robots.
Ain't nobody want to see that.
Somebody does.
Somebody does.
I mean, I've definitely seen Rule 34 of Bastion with D.Va's mech, but I mean, that's... it's the world we live in.
Yep. Alright, well, we went down the rabbit hole there.
Hey, speaking of which, yeah. Cutting that off right now. anything else? I hope you enjoy the game when you get to play it.
I am all set for tonight. It has been a long weekend.
Yes, it has. It's been... Yeah, I'm sorry you had to work on Friday.
I've been chilling.
Cool. Well, let's wrap this up real quick. I'll take us out.
Do the thing.
So, if you want to hear more of our great voices, but in text format, if that works that way, you could find me anywhere on the internet as Brother Dom. That's BROTHADOM, not brother. I say brother on purpose. Anywhere I want to be found. You can find Steph on Twitter at Captain Steph or Tumblr at The Snow Queer.
Had to think about that for a second.
I keep wanting to say hello, Steph, and that's not it's not you. You can find us on those social media places. You can find this podcast on Twitter at Character Rev. That's two R's in the middle, Character R-E-V. You can find us on Facebook as well. If you search Character Reveal, you'll recognize the logo. Facebook's very popular right now. It's real in. You can find us. You can find this podcast at characterreveal.simplecast.fm if you want to download it, listen to it, or stream it. You can get our RSS feed from there and just plug it into your favorite podcast catcher. Still working on iTunes. We're really close. I think we're not. We've been dug out of the hole, and now we're running a race with hurdles in it. But we're gonna get there before the end of the year. It'll be our gift to you for Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, solstice. We'll get it to you that way. But you can also find us on Stitcher, Google Play Podcasts, and a few other things. And we also write for the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog. That's ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com, where it's an intersectional feminist blog about nerdy things, such as the things we discuss on this show, but a little bit of a tighter wheelhouse. And I think that's all of the social media stuff, right?
I think you got it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, this past week's character reveal went up kind of late because of Thanksgiving and some technical issues. This one was a bear to edit for a few reasons, but we did get it. Pittsburgh listeners, it's our one with Mikey from The Freak Show. Go check it out. It's really hilarious. We went off the rails almost immediately, as we were hoping. We recorded while we were in Key West, so there was definitely a tropical vibe to it. No, it was more of just a relaxed vibe. We tried for the first time recording in the same room, which didn't help it. But it's a good episode. You guys should check it out. It may or may not be the episode for this week, depending on how numbers look. I know a lot of people don't listen to podcasts on their week off, and we don't want to bury people into things, but I'll still be editing because I love y'all. And yeah, go check out the music we listed, all the stuff, and let us know how we're doing.
Yeah, and we'll link to, if you haven't found the Ham for Bay thing, we'll link to it in the show notes too.
Sure, we will do that. That's one more thing to worry about. But until next time, listeners, we appreciate you listening through all this. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.